Hello, everyone. Good morning. And it's so great to be here with you all. We're going to actually have my sermon written out in the Chinese on the slides for you to follow along if you are a Chinese speaker.
各位早晨，今日咧，我哋嘅信息咧，已经系翻译咗喺幻灯片上边。如果你系广中文嘅，你可以跟住信荧光幕上边嘅信息嘅字幕。各位弟兄姐妹早，那我的信息呢，在我们的这个幻灯片上有中文，有写的有全部的中文。你希望如果只是听中文、听国语的弟兄姐妹，就可以看这个幻灯片。 或者是看我们发过去的这个文件上面会有全部中文的信息。Okay,
let's begin. In just a few short days, it'll be Christmas Day. We celebrate it together as a church today. And so Merry Christmas to everyone who is here. I know it's a few days early, but we can say that to one another. And I hope that during this Christmas season, we will continue to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus Christ and his love for us. You know, as we celebrate Christmas, we also remember that today is the final Sunday of Advent. Now, we've been talking about the themes of each week of Advent on these Sundays, and we've talked about the hope that is in Christ, the peace that is in Christ, last week, the joy that is in Christ Jesus, and all of these things are promised perfectly through Jesus Christ. And today, as we celebrate Christmas together at this joint worship service, it is also the Sunday of love. That's the final theme of our Advent, which is love, and how fitting that is that God, we know the story of the truest love, God of the universe sending Jesus Christ, his only son, into the world so that we could know him, so that we could have eternal life with him. And so we're going to talk about the love of God today. It's not going to be your traditional Christmas story about Jesus in the manger and the shepherds and, you know, the magi and the wise men. But it is going to talk about the love from above, the love that came down and the love that God wants for us to know and for us to share and show to the rest of the world. Even in this Christmas time, let's remember it's always about the love of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13 together. This is the word of God. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Be with us as we speak, as we hear, as we share in your truth together. Fill us with your presence. Remind us of your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is the definition of love? You know, who designed love? Where did it come from? I think as human beings, love is actually at the core of who we are. Why is that? Well, we know that God is love. God himself is love, and love is a relational thing. It's not just for one person, but we know that even God, from the very beginning of time, he existed in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. And so love existed from the very beginning. And when God made us, humanity, remember, of all the creatures that he created, when he created human beings, humanity, he made us in his image. And he saw that it was very good. And so when God made us in his image, this love that existed between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the deepest kind of love that exists in the whole world, it was given to us. And I know there's all sorts of books that have been written thinking about, well, can someone really be alone and not need the love of anyone else? Can someone survive and live on their own and be okay? Well, we know that that's not the truth, because more than the love of other people, the love of God is something that every single one of us need. We all need love. And as Christians, as those who believe in Jesus Christ, we know that it's only his love that can make any person whole. It's only the love of Jesus that can satisfy us, even to the deepest places, the deepest just core of our hearts. It's only Jesus Christ that can reach us there. Even the deepest of loves of two people on this earth will never be enough to make someone whole. It's only the love of Jesus Christ. And we just saw in this passage that we read in the book of John that God actually commands us to love. It's something that he just says, oh, it would be nice to love. He says, no, you love one another as I have loved you. And so we need to know that what we're talking about today, God's love is absolutely different from the love that so often this world tries to teach us about. So much of the world teaches us that love is about ourselves. You know, we have to love ourselves before we can love someone else. So much of the world teaches us that we should only give love to those who deserve it. Only those who give us love back or give us something back in return. But God's love is fundamentally different. In the verses we just read, Jesus himself tells us that there's no greater love than someone giving his life for another person. So today, as we think about Christmas, as we think about God who sent Jesus Christ into the world, just as we came into the world, born as a human baby, though being fully God, he shows us once and for all God's true love and what it looks like. And so this is the love we must remember, and this is the love that we're going to talk about. And we're going to compare God's love, biblical love, and the world's love. And so we're going to see how they're different, and we're going to go through that together today. So the first thing that I want us to look at is the world's love. The world's love. So that's the first thing. And the world's love, I want to say, is me-focused. It's all about me. So let's look at this verse in these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I know that this is Christmas, you know, joint Christmas service, and some of these things might feel a little bit heavy, but I wanted to, as a pastor, make sure that we realize what the true love of God is. And without being honest about our sin, about the temptation to go away from God, I think it's hard to see just how amazing God's love and grace is. So let's look at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. I know it's a heavy passage to look at. You know, a lot of times when we have Christmas service, we just, you know, we just want to sing carols and we just want to kind of look at the light side of things. But again, we cannot understand God's love fully until we compare it and see how it's so different from the idea of love that the world gives to us. And even in our hearts, sometimes we see how me-focused love can be. So as we see this passage in 2 Timothy, I believe that it is a warning that God gives to us, a warning for Christians when it comes to love. Our love can be so divided into so many different things, but ultimately the world's love is me-focused. And because this is true, the world teaches us that our whole world is about ourselves. And we ultimately serve ourselves. Whatever we can get our hands on or whatever we can do to gain for ourselves, to build ourselves up, the world says, go ahead, try hard and get it. And so we apply that to our thinking on love. Well, love is something that I really want. So love is something that I really desire. So I'm going to do whatever I can to get it from other people, to get it from my parents, to get it from my kids, to get it from my pastor, from my church members. And so it becomes all about me getting love, myself. That's the world's definition of love. You see, the path to living like the world and accepting the world's definition of love is actually so easy to fall into. As we read that passage in 2 Timothy, maybe some of you are like, oh, well, that's not me. I'm not abusive. I'm not disobedient. I'm not all those things that are listed. I'm not evil or selfish. Maybe we think that to ourselves, but I want to ask you to honestly look into your heart. Look into your hearts. Do you have a me-focused love? Because that is a world definition of love. It's so easy to stray from the love that God commands us. He commands us that it's not about ourselves, but it's about others. It's about Him. It's all about God. And so when we love one another as God has loved us, then the true love of God, the biblical love of God, that's what comes through. But the world says, no, you go. It's all about you. And it can start with the small things. In the smallest ways, we can start loving the things of this world. In the smallest ways, we can make it all about ourselves. Who do you show love to? Do you only show love to someone who can give you something in return? Do you only give to those who you expect something in return from? Think about love in your relationships, husbands and wives. Do you ever have the thinking or the idea, if you don't treat me well, then I'm not going to love you? You didn't do what I asked you to do. I'm going to withhold my love from you. Or maybe even with our children or our grandchildren even. If you don't listen to me or do what I think you should do, then, well, I'm just not going to love you. And maybe we don't say those words, but in our hearts, I want us to check. Do we fall sometimes into the world's definition of love? Unless you're doing what I want, unless you're giving me what I want, well, I just simply don't have love for you. You see, the worldly love is self-focused. It's me-focused, and it is so conditional. You know, even those who do good things sometimes in the world, they do it so that they can receive for themselves. Even the good things of the world, we can turn and make not about God's love, but about the love that we can get, a selfish love, me-focused love. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, even if every other person is convinced that you are a loving person, God sees your heart. And so if you're not doing it with a heart that's serving and not expecting in return, God sees that. And He wants you to know His love and live His love. And, you know, I thought about that even during the Christmas season. You know, how often in the world does it becomes about the gifts that we receive? Now, I know that when we're younger, you know, we just get presents and we don't really give presents. So all the younger ones out there, you know, it's a great time to receive presents. But as you get older, remember to give presents back. I think that's an important thing to learn how to give. But I started thinking about that. How does the world's definition of love, this kind of me-focused love, even apply to giving gifts. What am I going to get for Christmas? What am I going to get for Christmas? Or when someone gives a gift, you know, perhaps they have this expectation. Well, I gave you a gift that's $100, so you should give me a gift that's around the same. I think that's kind of sometimes an Asian thing too, right? It's like, well, you kind of mark down, well, they gave me this gift. Well, I'll give them something similar, similar value. We give and we expect in return. You see, it's a me-focused love. And we have to be careful because even in the good things, we can twist them to make it about ourselves. And this is what verse 5 was talking about in 2 Timothy, right? Where it says that one can have the appearance of godliness and yet lack it because they only think about themselves. You know, I heard a funny story about a little boy. You know, he wanted a watch for Christmas. So he wanted a wristwatch for Christmas. And so he let his dad know several times. You guys, you know, who have children, you know, when they want something, they'll keep on asking, can I have it? Can I have it? Please, please, can I have it? And so he used the best manners he could. And so he asked his father, Father, may I please have a watch for Christmas? And the father would say, no, son, I'm sorry. You can't have a watch for Christmas. Well, the son really wanted a watch, and more than anything else in the world, that's what he wanted. That's all he could think about, receiving this watch, getting this watch. He imagined how amazing it would feel to just put on that watch for the first time on his wrist. And so he asked again and again and again until finally the father started getting upset. And he sat him down and said, listen, son, you are not getting a watch for Christmas, okay? You have to stop asking me. The son seemed to understand. Well, the next day during dinner, they gathered together for supper and the father asked if anyone wanted to pray for the meal. And the son raised his hand and said, Dad, I'll pray, but I'd also like to share from the Bible. And the dad and the family were kind of confused. They said, what? Wow, this is amazing. Maybe he's got the Christmas spirit. He wants to read from the Bible. And so he said, can everyone turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 37? And he read from the NIV. And this is what Mark 13, 37 says. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. You guys get what he was doing? So what he did was he read this scripture out of context and he was saying, look, Dad, this is what I want. He was still on a mission to get the watch that he wanted for himself. It was a me-focused thing. You see, when you want something so badly for yourself, when love becomes so me-focused, even the word of God, we can twist to try to get what we want. You see, that is actually the world's love. You're always thinking, what can I get? You're always thinking, what can I receive? And when the focus is getting and receiving and taking, then that's how you actually become abusers. That's actually how you become someone who is hateful, who is mean, who is all the things that are listed. It doesn't start right away that that's how everyone is. But you see, as we start thinking that it's more about me, it's all about me, our hearts become warped. They start changing. And it keeps us away from remembering the love of God. You see, that's why so many marriages are broken these days. That's why so many relationships are broken there these days. Because, you know, we have this mentality, well, if there's nothing in it for me, if I'm not receiving from you what I want anymore, then there's no need for this relationship. And so there's breaks, there's divorce, there's all sorts of things that happen when it becomes so me-focused. You see, the relationship that we have with God, and we're going to talk about that next, the biblical love, God's love, when that is right and we know it in our hearts, it casts out this false love of the world. When the condition is, I must get something out of it, it hinders us from sharing the true love of God. And that's the second thing that we're going to talk about today, is biblical love. So biblical love is different from worldly love. Worldly love says me-focused. Biblical love says God-focused and others-focused. So let's go ahead and look into Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 37 to 40 together. And this is the word of God again. It says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So remember, this love that came down through Christ, as we remember the Christmas story, baby Jesus being born into this world, he came to show us this kind of love. This is what Jesus did his whole life. He loved God with all of his heart and all of his soul, all of his mind. And then he loved those who were around him. Okay? So these passages, or this passage that we read, God makes it clear again that his love is different from the love of this world. The world's love is conditional. I give you if you give me. And yet God's love is unconditional. It's true love because it's found in relationship with God. We see his love that says, serve him and serve others. So you're not so much thinking every day, what can I get? But we say, man, God, you have given me yourself. What can I give? How can I serve? How can I love? You see, the focus is completely different. Biblical godly love is focused on God and others above ourselves. Too often we make decisions based on ourselves, but God says make decisions based on him and others. And so some people might be smart and they look at verse 39 and they might say to me, well, it says you should love your neighbor as yourself. So isn't it biblical to say love yourself? Well, let me tell you what this verse actually means. Now, let me give you an example of ways that it's so natural for you to care for yourself, to love yourself in terms of this kind of when you're everyday living. When something happens to you, how do you respond? Okay, so let me give you a couple examples. When you're walking around on a sidewalk and you fall and you scrape your knee, what do you do? Well, you immediately try to take care of yourself. You might try to find someone to help you. You might try to clean it up and find a Band-Aid and maybe some Neosporin to put on it to stop the bleeding. You see, you act immediately out of care, out of love for yourself. You see, you don't have to think twice when it comes to caring for yourself. You wouldn't just sit there with holding your leg and saying, well, should I take care of my leg? Should I take care of myself? Should I love myself here and take care of this wound? Yeah, let me sit and think about it. Let me go through all the different things and reasons why I should or should not. We would never do that with ourselves. That would be ridiculous. But how often when we see someone else who is in need, when we see someone else who needs love, we stop and we think about it. Even as Christians, we stop and we think about it and we say, well, you know, maybe we see someone who needs money or we see someone who needs food and we stop and we think, should I help that person out? You know, we might even think to ourselves, oh, they're probably faking it. You know, I've read about these scams and it's probably just a way that they can make easy money. Or we might not even take a look. We might see someone in need and just kind of say, well, I don't want to see this. I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to walk by. You see, when God says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's what it's talking about. It has to become so filled with God's love that we wouldn't even think 2 seconds, 3 seconds. If we see someone in need, we do our best to serve, to love, to give, even if there's nothing to receive in return. You see, this is biblical love. God and others focused. Let's go look at John 15 one more time as we're reminded. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, there's a lot to say about the love of Jesus Christ. And within these verses, we see a reminder that he not only teaches us in the Bible how to love, but he shows it with his own life. You see, Jesus Christ coming into the world shows the love of God. And the way that Jesus lives his life, it shows the love for God the Father, and that he's following these commandments. Now imagine if Jesus said these things, and then he didn't love others, he didn't serve others, he didn't care for others. There would be no power because he's not living it out. But we know that Jesus did that perfectly. He was fully God, and yet he humbled himself to come into the world in the form of a newborn baby. And he came knowing that he would live one day, as he lay in that manger, that one day this life that was lying there in the manger would lay down that very life for the world. He would serve us once and for all upon the cross in his death. But praise God for his resurrection. You see, he laid down his life for us. You see, Jesus didn't come into the world with an expectation. You know, he came in the humblest way, in a manger of all places. He didn't come riding in on a lightning bolt and saying, "Here I am, I'm God." No, he humbled himself and he came to show us his love, not expecting in return, but ready for his whole life to serve God the Father, and to serve the world, to serve others. And we know in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that's what it talks about, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You see, Jesus came into the world, the love from above, lying in that manger is the love that would change the world once and for all. And again, we know that the ultimate act, the selfless love, the biblical love, the God-focused and others-focused love, we saw as Jesus Christ died upon the cross for us, for you and for me. He offered himself, his own life. God, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross for us out of his love when we had nothing to offer him. You see, if Jesus thought through it in a worldly way and said, well, what can these guys give me back if I die for them? You know, what could Mary give me? What could Caleb offer? What can Joanne offer? What could, you know, Scott offer? What could Fred offer? What, you know, if God went through that kind of, what could he give me back? And then decided, well, that's enough. Then I'll die on the cross for them. Oh my goodness. We'd all be still left in our sin and in our lostness, in our darkness. But Jesus gives himself. He dies for us in a way. He gives us himself, something we can never repay, something that we could never give back enough to pay him back. But he did it willingly. So this Advent and Christmas season, will you ask God for the biblical love, this kind of heart, a heart filled with his love that glorifies him and is God-focused and others focused. And it shouldn't only be through the Christmas season, and it shouldn't only be through the giving of presents. It's the overall attitude of our lives. Are we living with the biblical love of God? Are we showing the Christmas love, the Advent love of Jesus Christ with those around us? This is the real essence of the Christmas story, his grace and love for humanity. Love come down. And people should know this love. They should experience the love of God through us. This is what makes us different. This is what is different from the world. It's Christ in us, this love in us that is God-focused and others-focused. Will you share that love? You know, if you are just showing the same kind of love the world is, how are they going to know Jesus? If your love says, I'm only going to give you love if you give me love. I'm only going to give you love if you can give me something back. How will they know Jesus in us? Jesus loves us with his grace. Biblical love is God's love given, even when someone doesn't deserve it, even when there's nothing that they could possibly give us in return. That's why we're children of God, for those of us who believe, not because we had love to offer back or anything to offer back, but because he showed biblical love. So if you're here today and you do not yet know the love and grace of God, I pray that you will allow for God's word to penetrate your heart, to work deeply in your heart. If you just turn to him and ask him to reveal this love to you, he will not reject you. He will give it freely. Jesus came into the world that we would have his love and eternal life. And so this Christmas season, we celebrate this biblical love. We celebrate the love of God, the love come down into the world as he was born in a humble manger. We celebrate his love from above that gave his life for us upon the cross. And we look forward to the second coming of Jesus when this love will be made full and complete, and all of his children will be with him forever and ever. Will you believe? Will you accept it? Every single one of us here, if you've been to church 1,000 times or even one time listening to the word of God is an opportunity for you to repent and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when you do, you'll experience this very love that I have been, that the word has been preaching to us. Will you accept it? If you're not yet a believer of Jesus Christ, may his love fill your heart. May his love turn you away from this world that says it's all about you and show you the amazing joy when it's all about him and it's all about serving others with that love. And so again, this Christmas, as we remember Jesus Christ, as he lay in that manger as a little baby, as a little child, it will be that very life that he would lay down for us, for the world, that we might be saved. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we can have your word. Thank you for teaching us about your love, not just through this word, your perfect word, yes, but in what you did. As we see the life of Jesus Christ, we know that he did not live a selfish, worldly love, but it was a love, your love. He did everything according to the will of you, God the Father. He obeyed to the point of even death on a cross out of love, biblical love that is God-focused and others-focused. God, would you challenge us, each one of us, challenge us to live with that kind of heart and with that kind of love. It's so easy, even as Christians, to forget that biblical love and to start living as the world wants us to live, where it's all about us, it's all about me. And God, you say, no, 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 it's all about God and serving others. May the world know your love through your people, through your children, as we share that love with those around us, with our families, with our friends, with our coworkers, with strangers, with every relationship that we have in this world. May our relationship with you, our God, and the love that comes from you affect every single person. Thank you. We're so joyful. We have peace, we have hope, and we have the love of God through Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.